What do you do if you're Caoimhín Kelleher? What's your sense from Caoimhín Kelleher's reaction to You'll Never Walk Alone?
Just having a great time.
The body language experts.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball's Breakfast Bite. A bite-sized serving of Ireland's breakfast sports show.
The former Mayo star David Brady and the former Meath captain Shane McEntee. Lads, good morning. How are things?
Pleasure.
Thanks for coming in. There's a buzz. There's a buzz. I can feel the vibe off you, Shane. Everyone in Meath this week. There's something in the air after what happened last weekend, isn't there?
Meath playing last weekend. Yeah. No. There's big excitement. Yeah, really big excitement. Just chatting to David outside there, and it's just the result, and not just the result. I think the performance, the nature of the performance, has definitely breathed a big life into the county. There's huge excitement. Didn't go the 20s way there on Wednesday, but there was a crowd in Newbridge for that. People are really looking forward to Sunday week, and yeah, it's done a lot for it.
Did you see it coming? Because you were in with that squad before, you know, towards the tail end of last year with Robbie Brennan as well.
Yeah, I felt it was on the way. I'll be brutally honest, I didn't see it this weekend, down to a couple of things, and this makes it all the more impressive. I thought Jordan Morris and Ronan Jones, who was obviously a late inclusion in the matchday squad and had a huge 10-minute cameo when he came on, I thought the two of them are really influential, and missing the two of them, I thought we might just be a little bit short this weekend. Very happy to be proven wrong on that, although maybe I wasn't, because Jonesy did feature a little bit and made a telling contribution. So I knew the squad was building really, really well. They'd obviously come through a little bit of unrest and pulled out a really big performance, or a really big result rather, against Offaly under pressure. But I didn't necessarily think it was going to be last Sunday. But yeah, as I said, very, very happy to be proven wrong with it.
Did you see it coming, David? It was mad, wasn't it, to see? Because I know Dublin have lost a lot of the big names that we've seen over the last, you know, 6, 7, 8, 10 years, but they're still a formidable outfit, and yeah, not a lot of people gave me the chance.
You know, Dublin as a you know, a driving force they've been for the last 15, 20 years. You go, it was never going to continue, but when it was going to end, it was always going to be probably a surprise. I felt that, and I do feel that some of the players in Meath are as good as I've ever seen. I was lucky enough to see some of them up close, and I'm going, like, I thought there was a lot of negativity within Meath to say they're not good enough. Or what I see, the players that I had seen in my time when I was in the club scene in Meath, I was going, geez, he's a dinger. And like James Conlon was a prime example.
Yeah.
I'm going, and again, in this modern day, you know, with the rules and your ability to take a man on, he was one of the best players I've seen in the whole of Meath. And I don't know, has he been involved in the last 7, 8 years in any great extent?
Yeah, no, 2019 he would have come in and had a lot of really good performances. And I think the nature of his style of play, I'd say the rule changes made a huge difference.
Oh, massive.
Because when things get crowded out, like he's not a big fella, but his turn is absolutely electric. There was a point he kicked off Davy Byrne at the weekend, and the turn would just... And I had nightmares thinking about it from training at times and club games against him, because there's very little you can do to stop him.
What you do and stop him is try and play a sweep or double contain him, but you can't do that in the new rules. You're leaving yourself exposed, and I think it's brilliant to allow players that are naturally as good as James Conlon and the rest of them, players like him. I think it's brilliant for me, because Jesus, they still are. And again, as Shane was saying, you know, he was waiting all his life for this, because he knew what went before him from the great Meath teams. But a lot of young kids that are now 15, 16 wouldn't have a clue of what success is. And that, it's amazing what that can do for a county. And in all fairness, credit to Robbie Brennan. His back was to the wall to a degree. We're just in the Offaly game was a major pressure game for them. And what happened with the two boys leaving the setup just before a championship, you're going, wow. But Robbie's a good guy, and again, it was a great appointment here, not necessarily to beat Dublin this year, but to generate momentum and positivity and kind of that upward trajectory in Meath football. And he's done it, and it's, in all fairness, he has great experience coming from Kilmacud, but Robbie's a good guy, and I think it's brilliant to see a Leinster final with Louth and Meath, and that'll be a special day regardless. Yeah, and
have they met before in Leinster final?
Plan B, I would say Plan B would be on the cards. Yeah. I'd love to see it.
Yeah,
I would love to see it.
What do you mean? Sorry,
oh, Jesus, if whoever wins it, go out on the pitch.
Mm.
And it'll happen. Well, it won't happen for Galway. If Mayo win it at this weekend, you can be guaranteed there will be a scene like we miss it. And it does, like, it's a long time from a Mayo perspective since we had that in Castlebar. But yeah, I'd love to see Plan B. I'm not saying it should happen, no. But it'd be some crack. As long as everyone is safe and yeah, because it is, yeah. They're like, it's massive for both of them. It'll be a special day, and I'd say it'll be hopefully a sellout to a fast.
Yeah, they're talking about a big crowd already. I think there's maybe 30,000 tickets sold already, so it's hyping up nicely, yeah. And as I say, the fact the two teams played on Wednesday evening, there was a big crowd in Newridge after a late change from Parnell Park, which would have affected the crowd, and there was still big support for both teams. It's going to be a massive occasion.
60,000,
yeah.
I would say, at least, would be at that.
Be class, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Jesus, without a doubt. And it's a good occasion for Leinster GAA to say this is the opportunity that teams have, and it's not all one way traffic, but it'll be Dublin aren't gone, that's for sure.
This week on Diverted.
I was always around football. I used to carry the players' boots. I remember when my grandfather would bring the Brazilian players, and I would wash their boots and everything. So it's definitely, football is built and stored in my DNA.
In episode 6, we're going to Central America, and we'll be taking you to a Belizean Premier League game. We'll be visiting the basketball-obsessed Highlands of Guatemala.
You need to have a name order that people support. Like, for instance, basketball, you have LeBron James. It starts like that. You have to find good players so that you can sell it to the public so they can come out and support.
And we will experience firsthand the 2 minutes and 58 seconds where it looked like Costa Rica were going to qualify for the knockout stages of the 2022 World Cup.
I am once again embracing my new brothers.
What are you doing?
Creating chaos.
Diverted. Coming every Tuesday to your podcast feed, wherever you get your podcasts.
Myself and Colm and Dara here with you, and you heard a promo there for the Owen Shahan's Diverted in the ad break there. It is brilliant so far. I don't know if you're listening to it. You'll get it wherever you get your podcasts. The Mexico and Bolivia episodes particularly. Unbelievable.
I'm waiting to get stuck into Bolivia. The man himself.
You haven't listened to Bolivia yet?
Not yet, but I can't wait for it. The man himself was on national television last night talking about this. Did you see
that? Yeah,
they gave Owen Shane a full hour on Virgin Media. What's the 6 o'clock
show? 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Alan Quinlan's with us. Morning, Quinlan.
Morning, lads. How are you?
We're keeping well. We are. We're looking forward to this match tomorrow. Like Leinster Northampton Saints, 5:30, Aviva Stadium. Far from a sellout. I know there's been a lot of criticism over the fact that the EPCR are in control of the ticket sales here as opposed to Leinster, that maybe Leinster could have pushed this closer to a sellout. I don't know if people are speaking with their feet. Is it prices? Is it the fact that people expect Leinster to get over Northampton quite easily?
In what way EPCR are charging more than what Leinster would have charged?
That seems to be the case. Okay.
They reduced the prices, though, I think, originally.
Since?
Yeah,
right.
Because of lack of demand. I think it went from, like, I think from €70 to €45.
It's a big drop.
And it's a huge drop, like you say. Yeah,
yeah, there must be kids' tickets. Is there?
I think there are something like that. Yeah.
Because a game like this, of this magnitude, is the European semi final, it should be a sellout.
They're all waiting for the final.
Genuinely, do you think that's an aspect?
Of course. Look, for people living in the Dublin area to go to the Aviva, it's not a huge financial outlay. But it still is if you're bringing a bunch of kids and stuff like that, which you invariably would try and do. I think the last number of matches, there would have been, you know, mums and dads bringing a number of kids with them. And maybe that's something to do with it, that they've been at a few. They have a lot of home games. Their crowds are very, very big all season, even in the URC. So, you know, beating Harlequin 62-0 and Glasgow 52-0 maybe also adds a tiny bit to it, that there's an expectation that, you know, I think if there's more jeopardy and I don't know, Northampton will try and find any little angle to try and motivate themselves and kind of get a bit of a chip on the shoulder, but they're under massive pressure, this Leinster side. They're at a level, and they've shown that in round 16 and the quarter final. I think if you go back to any sort of vulnerability or any chink in the armour that they may have shown was probably against Clermont at home in round 2. Leinster going 15-7. They struggled with their line out. Clermont had a few chances. They put them under pressure. They matched them physically. And probably round three against away to La Rochelle. La Rochelle have a kick at the end of the game to win the game. There's a song. What's the song out? Are we human? Are we Leinster?
we were literally talking about
genuinely, I'm only referring to that as saying that that's shown that they are human in a sense for those two games. The two games we've seen in round 16 in the quarterfinal, off the charts rugby, like it's just, it's phenomenal.
To listen to this morning's Off The Ball Breakfast in full, become a member at offtheball.com/join now.